Last the Lord's Day, we took the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we talked about being baptized into one body in the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Spirit's baptism. And this morning, I want to take up care one for another. It's important that we do care for one another. And this is a chapter. The snow, of course, is here. It's not stopping us from broadcasting throughout this area here in the Camden area and the Greenville, South Carolina area. And, of course, we have our station in Elkton, Maryland, and over in Pennsylvania. And then we have two shortwave stations. So we'll hear these wonderful songs and good music, things of the Lord, and other people will hear it as well. Let's open by starting with verse number 16, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 16 together. And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not therefore of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? All right, and so here we have a sort of an anatomy lesson of the body of Christ the believers. Those in the local church and those that are in the believers generally. There's talk about ears in verse 16 and the eye in verse 16. Of the smelling of the nose, also is talked about the hands in verse 21, the head in verse 21, the feet in verse 21, and the body itself throughout the entire section, 16 through 27. But in verse 16, the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye. We have people that are blind, and they have no sight. Helen Keller had no sight, no hearing either one, unfortunately. Fanny Crosby had no sight, she was without sight. And the sight is necessary. We love to be able to see. There's some that can't see. There are those that are blind. They have to go by Braille or some other means to listen. We have a friend right here in Collingswood, New Jersey, that's blind. He's gone blind, Brother Arson. Mr. Arson is a man who's had sight, and just little by little it's gone blind. But the ear cannot say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Eyes are necessary and ears are necessary. If we have no hearing. Now, there's some that are hard of hearing, some with hearing aids. I'm told, whether right or wrong, I don't know, but that former President Clinton had a hearing aid. There was a little bit not be able to hear. Now, you can't see it. Apparently, it's a very expensive one. This was just revealed this last week, so first I knew about it. But other important people have hearing aids, and maybe you and I may need them, some of us who get a little bit older, and maybe our hearing will go. But ears are important for hearing. Eyes are important for seeing, but you can't say just because you're not one or the other, you're not part of the body. The body is the whole, including all the parts and all of the members. Now, the ears and the eyes are high. They're up on the head. They're in this area, see? And so this is a picture of the ones who are members of the body of Christ. Those are in the various churches, like our Bible Today Baptist Church. We have eyes, we have ears. Now, that's a high place. We don't want to get too stuck up and too self-important, thinking we're the best of all. See, we're not down lower in our body. We're high, and so we don't want to be cocky, as we say, or complacent, or proud, or arrogant. But you can't discount one or the other. Both are necessary. Now, we have people in our local church that are eyes, and probably some that are ears, some that see more than they hear, and hear more than they see others. But they're both are necessary. And you cannot say, because you're not the same. It would be a terrible thing to be the same. Everybody the same thoughts, the same dress, the same looks, the same everything. So we have eyes and we have ears. And then in verse 17, let's read that one together. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now, not to say because you're not one or the other, you're not connected to the body of any kind in any way. But also, if you have the whole body as an eye, the whole thing, that's all you have is an eye. That would be a terrible body, wouldn't it? We've heard of the man Cyclops, which is a round eye. It's a Greek character, Cyclops. And there's all kinds of people that have thoughts of that nature. And we have on our $1 bill, this all-seeing eye. I think it's a very Masonic type of situation. I think it's a pagan and satanic thing. But if everything were just a big eye, now, we have a television set, and that's more or less the camera. That's all that is an eye. We have about four cameras in here together. We have about 13 on our video membership list, and they get these videos. In fact, as soon as the sermon is finished today, we're going to send that out to 13 other families all over the country that are able to have a church that they're satisfied with, and so they do listen. But that camera is just an eye. What if the whole body were just an eye? It would be a horrible-looking thing. I don't know, I suppose scientific people, some of these science fiction films have got some of these things. I don't look at those things, so I don't know. But it's entirely possible that they have a big, big eye. But that's a horrible thing. If the whole body, where was the hearing? And then if the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? So suppose the whole, you had just some ears. Now, we make fun of Ross Perot, you know, with his ears, and that's a big thing. He stick out a little bit, but some of the rest of us have ears that stick out as well, probably. But if the whole were a hearing, just a bunch of ears. Now, the sound is good. And a loud speaking system, that's it picks up the sound and it broadcasts it and you can hear. But if that's all it is, where were the smelling? Of course, that would leave out the nose. Now, some of us, I'm sure, are losing their smelling sense of smell. And some have lost the smelling sense of years before. So others, later on, in fact, my wife has mentioned that she's not able to smell as many of the scents and different things that she used to. So she's 73, and I don't know whether what's going to go next. I trust that that's about the size of it. But she's all right. She can still smell something. But I mean, certain things, we've got to have our noses. Now, noses are important, for example, when you have a question of a fire and the gas smell. It's a very serious situation. And sometimes they have, that's why they put a smell in the gas so that we can smell to see if there's a gas leak. And we can sniff that thing and smell the thing. So it's an important thing. An important part of our body is the nose to detect things that are wrong. And if it's poisonous gas or something, now some gases are without any smell whatever. And so they catch upon us and we die instantly or we're paralyzed or whatever. But the hearing, the seeing, and the smelling are all important. But you can't have all of one as far as the body of Christ is concerned, as far as the churches and the members are concerned as well. Let's look at verse number 18 together. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now, not only members of our body, physical body, our eyes, our ears, and so on, but in the local churches and in our body and the members of the body of Christ, those that are saved. God is the one that puts us in. We have different talents, different gifts, and different purposes, and different ideas, and that's important. And so it's not that we're all the same, but God has set the member. Now, if we're not set in the body, we're not saved unless we come to Christ as our Savior and Redeemer and receive Him and are born again by the Spirit of God. That puts us into His body. And if we're not saved, we're not into the body at all. And we have lots of people that are lots unsaved, unsaved people all over the world, millions of them. And we want to. That's why we send out missionaries. That's why we send out Pastor Joe, and he's out there in Liberia, Liberian himself, preaching the gospel over radio and song. Missionaries, in order to win people to Christ, to become members of this body of Christ and be saved. That's why we support Brother Ed Garant in Papua New Guinea, and the same as Brother Dave Bennett over in Australia. And that's why we support these missionaries of the gospel of our Savior, that they may come to Christ. And but God, if we have been saved, He puts us in a certain part of our local churches, as well as our body and our ministries, as it hath pleased Him. Now, you may not know what you're going to do in the future. Maybe you wonder, now some young men, I had a man come here to the door yesterday. He says, I want to train for the Lord's work. He doesn't know where. He's a Negro man from Philadelphia. And we gave him several schools. He knows of Elton, Maryland, the Maryland Baptist Bible College. He's thinking maybe going there. He knows of the school over there in Greenwood, Indiana. He knows Dr. Strauss. And Dr. Strauss has founded a new seminary up there in Connecticut. But he wants to be in the Lord's work. And he wanted to get a copy of my book, Defending the King James Bible. And so he came here, he got that book, and then he also wanted one of our Defying King James Bibles. He got that as well. And I told him about the course that we have over there in the Christ Independent Baptist Church every Monday night, starting a week from Mondays, and we're going to be teaching Defending the King James Bible as a course in that school. And I said, you may want to go there in the evening school, sort of get the fix on it, sort of start in, and then go and go to college and school, maybe in September. But we don't know. I didn't know what exactly the Lord had for me when I began training and studying and so on. All I know is the Lord impressed upon my heart and mind that I want to be in His service. I was going to go into medical service, in the medical doctor. I was going to be a Christian medical doctor, but the Lord changed that completely when I was in University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Going there, I was majoring in science and math and various other things and physics. But I switched to pre-theological and went to Dallas Seminary, and I didn't know exactly even after that where the Lord would have me. And but we majored in Greek, classical Greek in the University of Michigan, Koine Greek in the Dallas Seminary, and minored in Hebrew and so on. But now God has placed us in the body. Certain ones. You don't know where you may want to be placed, but you've got to be somewhere. Dick Carroll's been placed in the body of Christ as a musician, and we praise God for that. And Marty and Dave are musicians, and we have all of our gifts, all of our different gifts. Al there is an OR. I don't know the technical. What is it? Technical. OR, operating room technician. And that's his skill, and he's still able to witness for the Lord, but that's his present duties and so on. And Will and Lois Ann Burns, they've been teachers throughout their career. They retired now, but you see, all different ones have different things. I don't know, brother, there, is it Pete? I can't think. Todd Bailey. He's working with MCI, which someone asked him what that is. Well, it's one of the telephone type of situations and so on. And I know that Tony works over there with the at Bancroft and works with the people that are handicapped. And so all different ones have different situations. But God has placed the members in the body as it has pleased him, and so with the local churches as well. Let's read verse 19 together. And if all were one member, where would the body? Again, we say if just one member, then we wouldn't have the body. And you can't just do everything with just one member. You've got to have a diversity in order to function properly as a local church and working together. And so that's the same way with our physical body. And then verse 21, now let's read that one together. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So here we have another anatomy lesson, as you might say. We talked about the ear and the eye and the smelling of the nose. We talked about now in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. You see, in a physical body, you need every part of us. You need the eye to see for dangers and so on, to read and to study and so on. You need the hands to pick up things and to write and to pick up your food and to eat and various other things, to work and to drive. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Every one of the parts of our physical body has need one for the other. It's a mixed mixture there, and so with the believers in the local churches and in the body of Christ generally. And again, to the head, to the feet. I have no need of thee. Now, the head is important. But our head, if we're saved, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of our body, the body of Christ, the believers. And he's the head of this church. I'm a pastor. I'm just the under-shepherd of the church. But the Lord Jesus is our head. In our physical bodies, the head is a very important part, as we know. It has the ears. It has the eyes. It has the mouth. It has a lot of parts of the body, a lot of the members in the head. But the head can't say to the feet, way down there, I have no need of you. Now, there's some men and women that have no feet, or else they can't use their feet. Some can't use their hands. It's a terrible thing. Paraplegic, quadriplegic, all four unable to use. And this is a serious thing. My father-in-law, Dad Sanborn, the latter part of his life, had one leg half cut off at the knee. And he had to have a wheelchair and so on. I mean, the legs are important. They get you places. Now, the legs can get us into trouble. Legs can get us to the wrong place. We ought to be careful where we go and where we say and what we do. But you can't say the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The head does need the feet to move. And the foot is down low. The feet, when you're shoveling snow, get cold. They get cold. You know that if you shovel snow today, whatever. The head needs the feet in order to move where the head wants to go. You can't just will yourself somewhere. You've got to pick up one foot and another foot and start walking to where you're going to go. And so it's important in the physical body. It's also important in the things of the Lord. And we have to have a realization. Now, those that are in the head, a lot of people are more talented than others. That would be the ones that are high and mighty and so on. But we should not and cannot afford to look down onto those that are lesser qualified, maybe, and not really the head, the big ones, and so on, because we've got to get the swell head then. We've got to look, you can't look down upon them and say, well, these little members of our church, they don't know much, and they don't do much, and they don't say much, and so on, and so on. No, they may be feet. They've got ways to do, and they've got missionaries, and they've got the people that can bring us in, others to come to our services, and so on. So we have to be rejoicing in the multiplicity of the members, not only of our physical bodies, but also of our church and of the body of Christ generally. Let's read verse 22 together. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So here, even the more feeble things, the things that are not as strong, not as powerful, a little bit weaker, they're still necessary. We must realize that. Just like on a football team, a basketball team, a hockey team, it's a team effort. And there's no one person that can do the whole job. See? And the illustration has been made. In fact, I quoted, I believe, last week, President Clinton, in one of his messages, said the whole thing is a teamwork. I don't necessarily always agree with what he said completely, but he did illustrate that if you're a football player and a quarterback and you're trying to make a touchdown, you better not believe that you can do it all by yourself, because you're going to get tackled. You won't make it to the yard, to the goal line. You're not going to make the touchdown. It's a team effort. So with the body, so with our members of our local churches, and especially those that are more feeble are still necessary. There's an illustration in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 18 to 25. David recovered all the Amalekites that carried away, and David rescued his two wives. We shouldn't have two wives, but he did. The Old Testament's more different than the New Testament. We have just one wife, that's it. That's enough, one husband. But he had two wives, and the Amalekites stole away his wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither great or small. And David went and captured and got the spoil. He got his daughters, his sons, and David recovered all. And then in verse 20 of 1 Samuel 30, David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before them, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. So there were 200 of David's men that were too tired to go fight the Amalekites and bring back the wives and the children and all the booty and the spoil. So there they were, and then there were some wicked men there, and then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial that were around David, and said, of those that went with David, and they said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and children, and so on. So they weren't going to give him a penny, not a single bit of the spoil. They give him his children, the wives that the Amalekites had stolen. But they weren't going to give them a dime of the spoil, not a single bit of it. And David said this, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as, notice this is a very famous quote, 1 Samuel 20, verse 24. But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward, he made a statute, an ordinance in Israel. The battle lines are drawn. The soldiers have something, but those that stay back and support the soldiers also. And that's the thing. The 200 men that did not do the fighting had the part and shared in the spoil. And we share in the missionary efforts of those that we support in our local church here. We're not out there in Liberia. We're not out there in Papua New Guinea. We're not out there in Australia. We're not out there in the fields that Brother David Cloud and Brother Don Jasmine here in the local area. But we share in the rewards and what they give to us because we support them on a monthly basis. And as the part is to go down to battle. So these feeble people that weren't strong enough to even go down to battle, they still have a share in the booty and in the rewards. And that's important. We can be prayer warriors. We can't go to the mission field or go into the ministry. We can go. We can pray. We can give. There's all different types of way we can enter in. But we can share in the rewards of the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ if we're saved, and that's important. And the feeble members, the more feeble ones, are still necessary to the work to get done. How do you think these missionaries can go out in the field? It's because Bible-believing Christians are here at home and they're giving their funds and ministering to the able to give what they can so that they can support them and give them the funds to go out there in the field. See? So that's important. How can they gain the souls for their hire? Well, by the prayers of the ones that are back here, warriors that are prayer warriors, and still we can be a part of that great enterprise. And so this is the feeble members necessary, and so it's not only the ones that get all the glory. And now, when people die, many times the press picks them up and gives them a blurb, they're this way and this way and so on. I'm sure they'll do that when great people, famous people die. They'll do that, I'm sure, when Senator Strom Thurmond dies. He's 99, I guess, 98, 99, whatever, almost 100 years old, see? And the Democrats are waiting for him to die so they can get the majority in the Senate. I'm sure they'll do it when former President Reagan dies. He's 90, what is he, 98 or 99?
91.
91, okay, he's going to be nine. Okay, he's almost 89. Okay, but when he dies, I'm sure there'll be great, big announcements, and they'll probably review all the life and so on, and rightly so. The question I asked my wife the other day, honey, I think when we die, you think we'll have any of that? No, see, because we're just humble, feeble, small, insignificant people, see. Because we don't have a great big blur. But the Lord knows all about these things. And then you go to the different cemeteries. Now, some have big markers, some have little markers, see. But the feeble members, the ones that seem to be more useless, are necessary. Every single one of these body members here, listen, I had my fingers going, curving and twisting. I had them operated, try to straighten out so I could continue to type. But listen, that little pinky, that little tiny finger, if that doesn't type on that thing, I can't work on my computer. It's a very important member. But to start twisting, I didn't do the surgery on this other one, so it's a little twisted. But I still work at it. But the feebler members are necessary. And you cut off a finger, you know you can't do things. You cut off a thumb, you can't even grab anything. See, it's a... Every single thing in our physical body is necessary. Everything in our spiritual bodies, the ones that are members of our church and our body of Christ, are necessary also. Let's read verse number 23 together. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Those members which we think to be less honorable. They may not be less honorable, but they, we think we don't need them as much, and so on. Where they're hidden, and we don't see them, we restore them more abundant comeliness. Now, the uncomely parts. I don't know whether it's your face. I don't know what you can do about your face. You got it, see? It's a way of looking at you, and so on. I don't know whether it's your hair, see? Some of us have more than others of that. Some have too much, maybe. But it's an uncomely part. We bestow more abundant honor. Maybe we try to get Rogaine to grow hair on the scalp. I don't know what we do. Maybe we go to the beauty parlor with the permanents for you ladies and so on, different things. But the things that are messy, we try to straighten out. When our faces are dirty, we try to clean them up. See, uncomely parts, we bestow more honor. We try to straighten those things out so that we dress our bodies up so they look nice and so on. And so these are important things. And we give a lot of heed, or we should at least, to those uncomely parts more abundant honor in order to dress them up so that they have more abundant comfort. We want to keep everything looking nice. Now, it's not very nice to have sand in your house, but on the other hand, if you slip on the ice outside instead that doesn't have any sand, you're going to have a real serious problem on your hands. So I better have sand in here than a broken arm or leg out there, see. So there are abundant comeliness, and so we want to bestow more abundant honor on the uncomely parts, the things that seem to be not as efficient, not as effective, not as charming and elegance and external beauty, decorum, and so on. Let's read verse 24 together. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which is lacking. The comely, that means those things that are beautiful, those things that are graceful, those things are part of our bodies that are bearing oneself becomingly in speech, behavior, whatever. That's what that word comely means. And our comely parts have no need. But then God hath tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now this word tempered together is an interesting word. It's only used two times in the New Testament. It's translated tempered together here and mixed with in another place. It means to cause the several parts to combine into an organic structure, which of course is the body, tempered together, melded together. You wonder, well, why is somebody in this local church versus some other local church? Well, they want to meld in, they blend into this place rather than another place, and so God has put these different members. The comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body. Notice he says, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacks. We've got to be very kind to those who are lacking, those that are perhaps not as comely or or knowledgeable about the things of the Lord, or other things, that the more talents, we got to be very kind to those and bestow more abundant honor. So that now the purpose is in verse 25. Let's read that one together. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one for another. The same care. No schism, no friction, no division. So we have to keep all of us on a par if we can. The ones that have a lot of communists, we don't have to pay much heed to, just let them alone. They'll be all right. They're fine. See, they're steadies. What about the ones that are lacking, that have great needs? We've got to minister to them. We've got to give more honor to them. So keep them up together with so the same pace. No schism in the body. No division. And then that last part I'd like to spend a little time on, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In Psalm 142:4, I looked on my right hand. There's no man that should know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. We've got to be a caring church, a caring individual, if we know the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Mark 4:38, when the tempest was there, and the storm on the Sea of Galilee was there, this little sea there, a little tiny sea, is shallow. And so because it's shallow, the storms pick up and kick up very, very easily and very quickly. We were there. The Lord was asleep in the back of the ship. And the disciples said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who cares the most for us of anyone on this earth.
Amen.
In heaven and earth. They said, carest thou not? Sure he cared. He just spoke to that storm and stilled it just like an instant. He who created the storm. He who created the nature and all the things about it. And then in Luke 10:33-35, the Good Samaritan, our President Bush referred to the Good Samaritan in his speech, in the inaugural speech, you remember. And here was one that was beaten, and the priest came by, and the Levite came by, they passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, there was a person, I don't think it was a Samaritan, was beaten, there's some other person that was on the road and beaten half to death. But the Samaritan, the half-breed, bound up this man's wounds, put him on his own beast, took him to the inn, and took care of him. That each member should have the same care. One to that, he took care of him. And on the morrow, he gave the innkeeper 2 pence and said, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest, I will repay thee. So the care is necessary, and the Samaritan had the care. In John 10:13, the hireling fleeth. Because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hireling preacher doesn't care for the sheep. He flees, he goes. Whenever the trouble comes, he's out of there. And that's what the Lord teaches. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, he talks about Titus. Thanks be to God, says Paul, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus was a caring pastor and apostle to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 11:28. Paul himself, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had a care for every one of the churches that he founded, all over the then known world, all over the Asia Minor and various other places, in Ephesus and Corinth and so on, and Philippi. And he had a care for these churches. In Philippians 2, verse 20, talking about Timothy, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. The caring of Timothy. And then 1 Timothy 3, verse 5, if a man know not how to rule his own house, that's talking about a pastor now, bishop, elder, how shall he take care of the church of God? A pastor's got to care. A deacon's got to care. We've got to care one for another. And then in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord Jesus is a caring Savior, and we've got to be caring one for another as well. When people are sick, we've got to care for them. I'm glad for Will Burns. He gets out these prayer sheets and he gives them to us each Lord's Day. And we are to pray one for another, pray for our present, pray for the sick. We've got all kinds of people that are down in sickness. We have Helen Green, who's got cancer of the stomach. She's taking chemotherapy starting tomorrow, 2 hours every day, Monday through Friday, then off a week, then on another week of 2 hours a day. It's not going to be pleasant. We've got to be caring for her. There's others that are not able to survive. Melissa Berry, who's now Waldorfer, she certainly is sick. Jill is up and around. I'm glad for her. Hope her cough and congestion and various other things are all right. And Bill Costanza is sick with the flu. Richard Cota is sick with the flu. Ricky is sick with something. And Charles has got laryngitis, and he was about coming down with something, his mother said. And here he shows up. all the way from Pennsylvania, which is a great thing, even in the snow. Praise the Lord, even though he can't talk too much. He's not going to sing, he's not going to bother you too much, he won't sass you or hit you or yell at you, scream at you. But we've got to be honored, we've got to be caring one for the other in our local church, and that's a part of the body, caring and tending. If your body's dirty, clean it up and take a shower or a bath. See, we got to care for our human bodies. If your ears are filled with wax, you can't even hear anything, we'll clean it out, see, and blow your nose if you got a cold. Various things, see, that we got to take care of ourselves. And we've got to eat if we're hungry and famished. Now, some of us look like we don't are not too famished, but we just take care of ourselves anyway and do what we can. But it's important that we care one for another. Let's read verse 25 together. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or, I'm sorry, 26. I'm sorry. Thank you. Let's read 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so here we have the suffering and the members that are suffering, or the honor. See, we've got to be sympathetic. As soon as with, and patheo is to carry or to suffer and to have pain, pathology, and we have to be sympathetic with those that have cares and those that are suffering. We're not all well. We've got to be helpful and praying for them and earnestly trying to minister to them. And then if one member is honored, someone is lifted up, someone gets a raise in salary. We have a man that came all the way from South Korea, Incheon. He's the one that gave us this Bible. He came to visit us yesterday. Dr. Young, and his wife, and three daughters. And he wrote this, he translated this Bible into South Korean. And now they have a Bible. It's sound. It follows the King James Bible type of text receptus and so on. And he came to visit us yesterday, and we're glad for that. And that's an honorable thing. Now, what he's trying to do now is to put the Korean on one side and the English King James Bible on the other. He's working on a parallel version that'll be over 2,000 pages. So pray for Dr. Jung. It's a wonderful gift that he has, and that's his primary task. He wants to get into the hands of the Korean people an accurate, sound, sensible, and a true translation for the Koreans. And that's what he's seeking to do. So we've got he's an honorable man. He's got a lot of honor. This man is from South Korea also. His name is Pastor Koo. Put this Bible out. It's our Defiant King James Bible, same as our, but a different cover and a little flexible thing so that the Koreans, he wants to give this to Korean pastors. 1,000 of them are coming this next week, or whenever they get there from New York City. They're on their way, and he's from South Korea also, and this South Korean knows Dr. Jung. Both of them know each other. In fact, Pastor Koo, an older gentleman, was the mentor for Dr. Jung. So he's given him the desire to translate the Word of God, to put it in his own language, so the Koreans are working together. See, now this man, Pastor Koo, is not content with only this large size, large print Bible, 1,000 strong. The next order, he's going to make 5,000 of them of our Defiant King James Bible, the regular medium size, for the little children. He's going to have large margins on them and so on. But these Koreans are interested in the things of the Lord, and they're honorable. And we should, when one member is honored and lifted up, we should rejoice with it. Not to be selfish and wonder why do they do it and why don't we do it. But we've got to be rejoicing with those that are honored, and we ought to be sympathetic with those that are suffering. And we got to pray for them. So now in verse 27, let's read that together. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Ye are the body of Christ. The Lord has no other members but us on this earth. It'll save people that are born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God. We are the body of Christ. He doesn't come from heaven anymore. He came one time to seek and to save that which was lost. Sang about it this morning, down from his glory. The Lord Jesus is not doing that today. He's not ministering personally. He's ministering through those of us who are saved and born-again Christians. And we are the body of Christ. And he's got to use, we're members in particular, specific members. And every one of us, if we're saved, has got a duty to do for the Lord. Whether it's singing, whether it's preaching, whether it's praying, whether it's giving, whatever it may be, we've got a duty to honor the Lord. Because he's put us as the body of Christ in order to minister to the needs of humanity. And my, what needs there are. Lost people need to be saved. And the woods are full of them. All over the countryside. Left and right. Neighbors to the left of us. Neighbors to the right of us. And we've got to represent our Savior. And we've got to represent Him well. And to do the best that we can to honor Him and to serve Him. Let's read verse 28 together. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Here are eight different gifts that are mentioned here. We talked about that last Sunday morning. We believe that the sign gifts and those gifts like languages and tongues have passed off the scene after the Bible has arrived, and that would include the apostles. We don't believe are there more apostles. Those are gone. When the canon was closed, the Bible was finished. Prophets the same. They're no longer prophets to foretell. Teachers, we believe those are still there. That's not a sign gift. We have teachers. Miracles, we believe the special miracle working, though God still works miracles, but the special person like Paul and Peter that had the gift of miracles, we believe has passed off the scene. A gift of healing is the same. Sign gifts, we think helps still be with us. People are helping one another. Governments, learning how to govern things and so on. That's not a sign gift, that's a gift that's here. Diversities of tongues, we believe that's passed off the scene as well because that's a sign gift. We mentioned last Sunday morning the cessation of the sign gifts and the revelation gifts in 1 Corinthians 13, the next chapter. Now, next week, we'll be taking up 1 Corinthians 13, and where it says in verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Those special revelations, once the Bible is completed, we don't need it. Whether there be tongues, these languages, special gifts of tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, that is special knowledge, and that over and above where God reveals, it shall vanish away. But then we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And as we said last week, we believe that which is perfect. It's not a masculine. Some have interpreted that as being when the Lord Jesus returns. But it's a neuter. Tauteleon is a neuter. That which is perfect. We believe it refers to Tau-Biblion, which is the Bible. When the Bible is completed, and we believe that happened 90 to 100 A.D., then that which is in part shall be done away. And so we believe that some of these signs and gifts that are revelatory and signs are no longer needed. But they were practiced in the early church. And we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 14, when we get to that, that the gift of tongues was practiced. It was still there. The Bible hadn't been finished. But there are rules to how to practice that gift. We're going to see what those are. The gift of interpreting of these languages and tongues was also there. But also there's a way to do that. And so they were out of order in 1 Corinthians 14, as we'll see. But there is a way. But we believe that when the Bible is completed, these other gifts have gone. We differ with our Pentecostal and charismatic brethren on this. We believe that the nine gifts of the Spirit are no longer with us. The special sign gifts are revelation gifts. And they believe that they're still with us. So we differ on that. But we agree on other things. And then in verse 29, let's read that one together. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? No, they're not all these things, even though maybe they've gone out of existence, the apostles and prophets and miracle workers, teachers may be with them, but they're not all the same. We have different gifts, even when Paul had these gifts, and they were in the church when he wrote their book for 1 Corinthians. They were separate gifts, but they all weren't the same, just like the members of the body, the hands, the eyes, the ears, and so on. Let's read verse 30 together. Have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Again, here again, even when the gifts that were in the body of Christ that were there in the church of Corinth, they didn't all have the gift of healing. Even Paul himself, when he wanted to be healed of whatever the thorn in the flesh was, he besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart. And the Lord said, no, speak no more. And Paul therefore said, well, what the Lord has given to me, I'll just suffer along with it and be glad. I will be gladly that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he didn't all have these gifts. Paul didn't. He couldn't even heal himself. But there are certain gifts, have all speak with tongues and so on. Paul spoke with a lot of tongues and languages to preach the gospel in other languages during his time, before the Bible was completed. We'll see that in chapter 14. Do all interpret. That is, interpretation and giving whatever the language is to interpret so that people can understand it. To unfold the meaning of what is said. That's what this word means. Dihermeneo. To expound, to translate into one's native language. And so they all didn't get the same gift. They all had different gifts, even when the gifts were all here. And it's an illustration, as we've said before, of the different ears and different eyes, and some with the smelling in the nose, some with the hands, some with the feet, some with the head, all of members, some more feeble, some more great, some more honorable, some more comely, some more uncomely. But there are differences in gifts, and that's what chapter 12 is all about. Let's read the last verse together, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Covet the best gifts, earnestly. And this idea of covet is to desire earnestly and pursue. And chapter 13, that we'll take up next week, the first half of it, talks about the gift of charity or love. Charity, of course, being love in action. And this is the best gift. And he says, be sure that you get the best gift. In fact, in chapter 14, when we get into that one, Paul will say, prophecy is one thing, and preaching and so on, that's one thing, and the tongues is another. He said, I'd rather have so many words in my own language people can understand than many thousand words in an unknown language that nobody can understand. See, in the church, even when the gifts were there, he said, we've got to be very careful how we exercise these gifts. And so, covet the best gifts. And that's where he's going to see in chapter 14 that prophecy is the best, because people then can hear what you're saying, and the people that are unsaved can understand the Word of God and can listen to it rather than some foreign language. And so, a more excellent way. We've got to find the best possible way. Now, as far as the gifts that we do have, all of us have different gifts according to the Word of God. Some of us can speak, some of us can listen, some of us can write, some of us can play music, some of us can make money and do other jobs and other tasks. They're all different things, all different ideas. Some can work with computers, some people don't know anything about computers. But we ought to covet and desire the best possible gifts that we may serve the Lord Jesus together. And this whole area of 1 Corinthians 12, the church as a body, is illustrative of the fact that God has worked out in his churches those people that are gifted in one thing, another thing, and bring it all together in a body and tempered them together so that they are workable, so that they make sense. And I'm glad that you folks came and went out in the snow today. We had some of the members that were not able, some go from distances, some have been sick and so on. But you made an effort to come here. We praise the Lord for that. And this, of course, is necessary. And so when we first started, we wondered, well, our musicians are here. Dave and Marty Warren came, and John, and so on. Then Dick came, and so on. And, of course, Charles was here early. So he came always, said, I can't talk, do much. But so we had maybe 3-4 people. But then I'm glad other people came. Then Will came, and Lois Ann, and everyone showed up. And Al and Jill, and then, of course, Tony and her father came. So all of the things working together. And we had a meeting, see. And we preached, and we listened to the Word of God, and we sang, and we praised the Lord. We're useful and needful. One from another, and I appreciate, as I say, every one of you in this fellowship that are members and attenders and come, and I appreciate you as your pastor, and I praise God for you and the visitors as well who come from time to time, and we're all necessary and all needed. And don't anybody think, well, you know, I can't stomach this one or that one. No, every one of us have different duties and different things. Some of us a little more ugly than others, a little more obnoxious, and you know. But listen, they're all needful and necessary, and we've got to. And this thing that will put us together is this best gift that he says we should seek after and covet, and that's going to be in chapter 13, which is charity and love. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Not that we're going to be hiding sin, but I mean, it just glosses over. See, and we can bind ourselves together in one body to be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he's placed us here in our little church and Bible for Day Baptist Church. And we thank you for coming, and we thank the Lord for his putting in the members of the body as it has pleased him. He's the one that set us in. He's the one that's given us the gifts. He's the one that makes us to exercise the gifts. He's the one that makes us faithful to exercise our gift. It's a terrible thing to have a gift that God has given to you or to me, and we do not exercise that gift. We just let it sit. We don't use it. God is displeased with us if we do not use what he has given to us. A talent, whatever it may be, he wants us to use it to the fullest extent. And he will be glorified in that, and he will reward us wonderfully and gratefully at the judgment seat of Christ if we're saved.